Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakura ki jai. Vem Sukhoi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaur Bhakti Devata. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kandhira Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Bhagavad Dham ki jai. Mangalamayi ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vinda ki jai. Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All the glories to the soul. 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 All the glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru.
Topic of today's talk, the essential aspects of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Very, please. Essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in relation to a consistent theme from before the beginning of his vision to after the end. Because, as you know, Lord Guru is not a Jiva Jiva. Primarily, there's some notable exceptions, but primarily, he was enacting the role of the Yuga Avatar, whose function is to propagate the Yuga Dharma, Harinama Sankirtan, as well as to establish the essential principles which nourish that movement of the heart towards Krishna. But then, actually, it wasn't his whole number that he did. It was up until the time of his initiation in which there was a major shift in all those emotions, feelings, and love which Mahaprabhu had tried to keep concealed within himself for 20 years and was able to succeed except for certain unrecognized direct manifestations. But with his taking Diksha from Sri Yashoda Puri, he was a completely changed person to the extent that, you know, people marveled what came over him, and they concluded that he must have seen Krishna, By the influence of that saintly soul, Sri Vishwanapuri, he must have seen Krishna. I mean, what else could explain such a transformation? From the contending Nayak, the reigning smart, the challenging pundit, in his 20 years of triumphs of learning. And when people would ask him, what makes you so arrogant? Because he was the absolute epitome of arrogance. But it's important to understand his underlying purpose, which is the deepest humility. Had he not demonstrated a kind of arrogance superior to the development of arrogance that had culminated in our life at that time, he would not have prepared the soil for that great emporium of culture and learning, which was bereft of Krishna Bhakti, except for the small handful of Vaishnavas in the shelter of great Acharya Srivastava Thakura Narayana, so he came. We're praying to Krishna that the situation is beyond us. Please come. So, for 20 years, performing his function as the Yuga Avatar, for which Lord Gauranga, as we know him, in this age, does not need to come at all. There's a Yuga Avatar in every Kali Yuga. But there's only Sri Gauranga in one out of a thousand Kali Yugas, once in a day of Brahma. So, his 20th year, marking his journey to Gaya on pretext of performing Pindu with departed Jagannath Mishra and meeting Vishwanapuri there for the second time, marked a transformation. From that point on, he was just always crying in separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is he going? He pleaded and begging with the Vaishnavas. Where is Krishna? Which direction is he going? How can I find it? And we're back to the initial point. When he was challenged in that previous period, what makes you so arrogant? This typical question is, ask any question. And this not only included the proud pundits, who, because they had excelled every field of knowledge in every university town in the world, which contributed, because that kind of knowledge usually is accompanied by some arrogance. So he had the monk, but he was also doing the same elevation of his thoughts, so he's challenging them. And it made a real conflict amongst them, but they were so irresistibly attracted to this Nehemiah. But he was always harassing them with these impossible questions and riddles about rhetoric and grammar and astronomy and things that they really didn't have any interest in. But when he presented this challenge, ask any question, and they would ask any question, they realized his questions themselves are impossible to answer. He would have to give the answer himself. And that made everyone marvel. An impossible question that nobody could come up with or even begin to try to respond to, he has answered so perfectly. And then they would begin to think, maybe he is entitled to such arrogance. You think so? Then he would defeat his answer. He would completely... And then it was his typical, which later other philosophers followed, you establish your thesis and your antithesis and your synthesis. Which is also what he's doing for the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, because you know, the history of the Kali Yuga from one perspective is, you know, from the entry of Kali, it's hypocrisy, the worst of which is any kind of cruelty, such as killing animals in the name of sacrifice to please Vishnu. So the Lord had to come as Buddha and say, if this is what the scriptures say, then I reject the scriptures. It accomplished that purpose. another problem. It's covered atheism, rejects the Vedas. So the Lord told Mahadeva he did not want to do it, to become a Brahmin, teach a covered kind of form of Buddhism, to establish impersonalism, to bring the collective population back to the path of the Vedas, but in person. Because it's too big of a step to go from Buddhism to personalism at once. Very dark period in the history of the Vedas. But then in the south, like four stars of the first magnitude, all of whom actually met Mahaprabhu prior to his advent in some special darshans, Madhvajaya, Ramanuj, Vishnuswami III, and Nambara, which established Vaishnavism on such strong ground as the Buddhists had to flee, taking the relics of Buddha like his tooth with him to Sri Lanka, across the Himalayas, China, Tibet. But the four Vaishnava Sampradaya's teachings didn't conform exactly with one another. Some emphasizing more dvaita, some more advaita. The Mahaprabhu's teachings unified, harmonized, and synthesized all that had ever been said and done and established in the name of bhakti in a higher perspective. So, for some years after his initiation, he's preaching in Navadvip, 4 years, then traveling throughout Maharashtra, and then concluded his years in Jagannath Puri. The essence of his teachings is the only thing he wrote in his own hand, except for one book which he threw in the Ganges because his classmate was too much humbled by it. Beginning with Shaita, and the margin of the praising the Sankirtan movement, which cleanses the mirror of the heart from all the dust and debris accumulated since time immemorial due to contact with the Chal nation. The effects of Hariram Sankirtan were established in the first verse, and the following verses take us through the whole journey, covering the whole spectrum of Samanda, Abhideya, and Kayotana. Samanda, proper relationship with the environment based on the central point of Krishna. Abhideya, the path to success. Prayojana, the ultimate goal. Prayojana of God. So the effects of the Parinam Sankirtan are described in the first verse. Other than that one book which he threw in the Ganges, this is the only thing Mahaprabhu actually wrote. Lord Sri Krishna's Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust, extinguishes the fire of conditional life, repeated birth and death, prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. This is the life and soul of all transcendental knowledge, because in the ocean, bliss overflows its shores, and awarding us the taste of the nectar of that ocean, for which our hearts are ever anxious. So if you look at we'll call him Mahaprabhu, that's what he's known as appropriately in Navadvipa, and his worship and primarily Dasya. But then when one develops in realization of mellows, especially into Madhurya, you can't have that grasp of Mahaprabhu. At that point, he becomes Mahaprabhu Dhanadvipa, becomes Radha Krishna and Adam. But one consistent theme, which is, in a sense, the essence of his teachings, is the holy name. But bear in mind, we'll call Sri Gauranga the avatar of this age as compared to, say, Mahaprabhu, who is Guru Narayan of all the other 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas in the day of Brahma. His whole, anyway, he has the Yuga avatar within him who is performing his Lila in the first few years in Navadvipa, after which he's gone beyond what the Yuga avatar enters and bestowing something the Yuga avatar cannot offer. That is, Braj Bhakti. As Maharaj was explaining today, Radha Kund is that liquid prem which bestows love for Krishna, like that which Srimati feels for him. And Veda Nishama Kund bestows upon fortunate pilgrim love for Srimati Radharani, similar as to that which Krishna feels for her. It's this love. And bathing the confluence of Radha and Shankar when they overflow, that yoga vipriya point, bestows the love for the divine cup. This is what Sri Gauranga has come to bestow. Love for Krishna in the way of Srimati Radharani, meaning Dasarasanadas, the servants of her servants, who experience everything she does with more intensity and in the predominant mood of separation, which is what Srila Prabhupada told us to cultivate, largely because it nurtures a feeling of humility. You know, one of the most discouraging things we experienced in the early days of preaching, whenever we saw Indian people, they'll take the Krishna consciousness and approach them. We know Krishna.
Meaning, we don't want to hear any more about him. Very discouraged.
And you see, you can't offer anything to anybody who knows Krishna or has Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to nurture that mood of separation. Krishna's far away. And the humility and the desperation and the commitment to achieve him, without which life has no meaning, purpose, or substance, fuels the fire of devotion. So Sri Gauranga, actually his childhood pastimes are so sweet because they're just parallel to that of Gopala and Vrindavan. Since the time he was born, he always wanted to be surrounded by loving devotees chanting Hare Krishna. But they didn't know that at first. The demigods, who had been waiting and praying to take birth in this movement, were watching and seeing that these devotees were very fearful, not for their own sake, because the appearance of Sri Gauranga in this world dispelled all fear of mortality. They were concerned. He's so beautiful that some ghosts, which is evil spirits, might want to possess him. So they were very vigilant. But when there was fear, when there's a special danger, like the demigods, they would enter the room. And you have subtle bodies you can't see, but they would cast shadows. There's a ghost! And the exorcist would tend to shake and shake. And the shadow would flee. You're fortunate you escaped my mantra today because you do not know the power of Lord Vishnu, which destroys ghosts and evil spirits and wishes. And the men are very vigilant to watch the child. And he was relishing this, as were the demigods who were playing this game. So, but profound. And then sometimes the mother said she would leave the Buddhist from me. He'd go along and break all the tops and scatter butter and yogurt and grains all over the floor. And then jump back in bed and start to cry. And she'd come in and see it. What happened? And she concluded, those ghosts again. So she told her friends to always vigilantly guard him by chanting Hare Krishna. And when he grew just big enough to stand, he began to dance. You know, when he was real little, he would cry if they stopped chanting, and then he would chant. And he would smile and be so happy. When he was big enough to stand, in the midst of the circle of Matajis who were chanting Hare Krishna, he would dance with such grace and rhythms of movement that they felt that all of creation must be dancing with and around him. And when he got a little bigger and could run, in the midst of the kirtan, he would run out into the streets and beg from everyone bananas or sweets or whatever, and they had to give. And he would run back with his little hands full of gifts and personally distribute to everyone who was chanting his alms. So by dancing, he's teaching us we should chant for his pleasure. By distributing alms to his devotees, he's assuring us, you don't have to worry about your sustenance. If you dedicate yourself to pleasing him, he will personally take care of all your practical, emotional, and spiritual needs. When it came time for the name-giving ceremony, the Matajis were very much attached to the name Nimali, because Mother Sati had lost 8 daughters, as had Devaki lost 6 sons, which are Kam, Kor, Loba, Moha, Madhavatsari, which have to be cast away by the influence of fear, Kamsa, fear of material existence, taking shelter of Bhakti, Devaki. These anarthas are cast off if you let them go. And then Baladev, Guru, appears to make all arrangements within and out for the appearance and pleasure of Krishna. So Sati had 8 daughters, who are the 8 material coverings of the soul personified. Fearing that her 10th child might also die prematurely, they thought that the name of the neem tree, antiseptic, would ward off those evil spirits and remind Yamaraj to spare this child. But when Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, looked into the horoscopes, he saw the arrangements of the constellations at the time of his appearance, was lost in wonder. And then the mystery of astrologer who appeared added to the words that Chakravarti could not speak. But basically he said, as far as the name goes, you can keep Nimai as a secondary name, primary one being Vishwambar, because famine was imminent. Starvation had begun because of a long drought, which had threatened Bengal. But with the appearance of the child, rains had nurtured the grains, and there was bounty everywhere, and everyone was happy. But it went subtler than that. That there was a rain of mercy which relieved the burning in everyone's hearts with the appearance of this child. And that rain of mercy caused the bhakti within the hearts of the residents to fructify. And just as previously, when the earth had entered a dark region, but was rescued by Varaha, darkness prevailed before his birth in the Vedic knowledge being lost. And with this child, the chanting of the holy name has restored Vedic wisdom to its proper perspective. So, his primary name should be Vishwambar, the maintainer and protector of all the worlds. And then when they perform the ceremony to see his varna, with the gold, the grains, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, he went right to the Bhagavatam and embraced it to his heart, understanding that this is the book where Sri Shuka, the parrot of Srimati Radharani, speaks her glories. They didn't understand. They thought, well, he'll be a great pundit or a preacher or whatever. And then, but he was very mysterious. He would go to the bathing ghats, and a Brahmana chanting guide from the water, he'd come up, pull his legs out from under him, right under. And then another Brahmana setting his asana for the worship of Lord Vishnu, preparing all the items of puja, flowers and garlands and boga and everything. And when it's all ready, he'd go bathe in the Ganges. And he might even sit on the asana, decorate himself with the flowers and garlands, and paint his face, eat the offering. The Brahmana would come back. Oh, no. So why are you disturbed, O Brahmana? He for whom the offering is meant has just been pleased and accepted. I am the Lord who incarnates in the Kali Yuga to establish the Yuga Dharma. Can't you see? And then, very mischievous, the Brahmanas would bathe and come out to do their puja, and with his lotus feet, he would splash water as they were trying to dry. Bathe and throw sand. And he'd take the men's clothes from the men's side of the ghat over to the women's side, and take the women's clothes over to the men's side, and they came out there. And he would harass the young girls, and he'd put those prickly seeds in their hair and jump high and scare them, and then tell them they should marry him, or he'd complain that he was an ish. So the girls would go to Mother Sachi and complain he's causing all this mischief. No, I'll bite him. No, no. Don't stop him. We just can't stop speaking about him. Why don't we? It sounds like we're And the Jagannath, the Brahmanas would go to Jagannath Mishra and tell how he's disrupting his puja. He'd become angry and take a stick and go down there. And the eye would just disappear. He'd tell his friends, tell him I didn't come today. And he'd disappear. He'd come. Oh, Mishra, where is your son? Did you send him? Well, we just heard that he was here. No, he hasn't come. So when Jagannath Mishra is at the bathing ghat, he might have come home after playing all morning in the Ganges. He would come home all dry, covered with dust, and decorated with ink spots. like bumblebees hovering around a chunk of flower. Tell me, there's such you can eat. Wild to go bathe now. And what? But hearing his voice melted her heart, she gave me oil. He went to Jagannath Mishra, came back, and she told him, what is going on? And then we came back later. Mishra was still a little bit angry, but when he might sat in his lap, his heart just melted. The mother Sanchi had been this continual anxiety. And she, you know, confided in Malati, her sister, and her Brahmani matrons that something's not right. What do you mean? These luminous figures, they come in the night. Please her, so that she would offer her blessings and protection to the child Nimai. But she knew he has a history of stealing the offerings. So she told Lal, now just do it in secret while he's out playing. And he'd stay out day and night, so she cooked the offering, covered in her sari, and she's proceeding through the path to the tree where Shasti's altar was awaiting the offering. And she got almost there, and she thought, I did it. I evaded Nimai. But with the thought of that name, which is not different from the Lord, he appeared before her. Mother Sanchi, where are you going? Nimai, just don't play. And what's that you're hiding under your sari? I'll give you the whole thing after the offering. But Sachi, I'm dying of hunger. I can't wait. And he grabbed the offering and ran away. But Sachi, in tears, went before the deity and fell down crying and praying, Goddess Shasti, you gave me this child. He's your child, but please protect him. He's very mischievous. He came back, and why did you do that? Because when the root of a tree is watered, all the leaves, twigs, flowers, and fruits are nourished. I am the root of all creation, and by giving your offering to me, all the demigods will be more pleased. And you will, if you give the offerings to them directly. So, the amazing thing was, in all this time that he's growing up to his 20th year actually, next door, in the house of Srivas Pandit in Advaita, especially Advaita's house, the Vaishnavas are congregating every day for Nam Sankirtan and praying and pleading. Now Advaita is still performing his puja. Shalagram Srila with Ganges water and cries like a child in great anguish, sometimes, other times, roaring like the lion, resounding by Kunta, calling the Lord to come. And the Vaishnavas would take shelter of Advaita every day because they were undergoing severe persecutions, which the gentlemanly Vaishnavacharyas don't like to recount. the bitter ordeal the Vaishnavas had to undergo. And even similar to the advent of Lord Krishna, there was even a slaughter of the infants because of the knowledge of the prophecy that a child born in obscurity in a humble family will rise to become the ruler of Bengal. And the king was so fearful he had his agents going out and killing the newborn children. And he had a dream one night which he related to his courtiers that my goddess Durga appeared to me in a dream wearing a garland of the heads of all the soldiers I have sent out for this slaughter. What does it mean? And his advisor said, thank you for stopping. So these terrible ordeals the Vaishnavas were undergoing at the time, so they would take shelter of the great, and he would say, I feel that the Lord has already advented somewhere in this world. There's a joy in my heart which could not be caused by any other reason. And I feel, and I say, that my name will be appropriate in Vaita. Only if you see him here with your own eyes within 3 days, take shelter of the holy name. Call in with humility and desperation and a feeling of a spirit of separation. And you will see him here within 3 days. And then the kirtan resounded from Advaitas. And Nimai, playing nearby, naked in the street, came running over. And when he entered that assembly, whether they were discussing Bhagavat or having kirtan or whatever, everything stopped. They were just mesmerized by his beauty, sweetness, and charm. What brings you here, my darling? Why have you come? Why have you called me? And he would laugh and run out and look at it away to them. What does that mean? Nobody can recognize the Lord during this period. Then except Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop noted my brother's activities are identical to those of all Gopal. But he knew he wasn't supposed to tell anyone. So wonderful things happened until the Pope of Brahma came, and after stealing all the offerings, he proclaimed them. I have descended the age of Kali to inaugurate this Sankirtan movement, and I will be present whenever and wherever the devotees chant my holy names. Will you forbid them to tell anyone? And episodes where the Lord challenged Mother Shakti's dedication to Swami's principles. Eating dirt, sitting on a pile of broken pots, proclaiming that Mother Shakti, I just keep telling you the same thing over and over and over again, and you're not understanding. What he's defeating is the external perspective of purity, neglecting the internal purity necessary for proper chanting. And then, when he brought the puppy dog home, that really confronted Mother Sati's smart tendencies. But she knew, if she let the dog go, images of Nimai's wrath changed her mind. No, she didn't. She let him go anyway. And then that puppy sweetest celestial voice leading kirtan party through the streets of Navadvip, gathering more and more until in a public square he raised his paws into the sky and stood up, surrounded by multitudes chanting Hare Krishna. And then he fell over backwards, still. People think this whole thing is very unusual. But is this something above? Or is he dead? And then in the sky, refulgence more bright, more brilliant than the sun, plunging down to earth. And as their eyes adjusted, they saw within it the form of a chariot, pulled by celestial steeds, landed next to the puppy. The charioteer and his assistant descended, and then they picked up the dead body of that dog, transformed into a celestial personality. Tears from over his eyes as he continued chanting all the names. His head bowed down in great humility, hands folded in great deep gratitude. As he sat on the chariot, the demigods had descended to witness this lila, and they were offering their prayers as the chariot ascended. And by a special vision awarded for this lila, they could see it went right beyond all the heavenly planets through the coverings of the universe. Didn't stop in Vaikuntha or Dwarka, or Ayodhya, or Mathura. It landed in Goloka Vrindavan. And as Shukadeva Goswami and others praised Sri Gauranga, little Nimai, just a child at the time, by whose touch a puppy attained the supreme abode, for which Prabodhananda Saraswati glorifies the unique characteristic of Sri Gauranga's lila in words which have made him immortal. Splendid path of devotional service which leads to Goloka Vrindavan, which sages of yore could never know, and Vyasadeva could not reveal, Prahlada and Shukadeva could not attain, and even Krishna did not bestow that splendid path of Braj Bhakti is the gift. But still, he cannot be known unless he makes himself known. So, for 20 years, nobody knew. Except for remote incidents. That this is the Yuga Avatar. And it wasn't until after that they realized he is much more than the Yuga Avatar. He is the Avatari, Krishna. But Krishna felt incomplete after his leave on earth, that for so long I wanted to bestow Braj Bhakti, but it wasn't well received. I will return again. Because one cannot really bestow Bhakti if he doesn't practice it himself. So I will come back as a devotee and reveal pastimes which are inconceivable even by Kuta. Pastimes which I had by myself in the maze. And then those three desires within his heart, desiring to understand Srimati Radharani's love. In Sanskrit it's very specific. Sri Radha Pranaya Mahima. Anaya is a stage of prema in which the beloved becomes one's prana, one's life. So,
let me get back to this childhood lila. At the time of his initiation,
he revealed the form, he became Brahman, the dwarf Brahman, and went begging to all the neighborhoods, and the demigods and goddesses came down to bestow their alms, because he wanted to teach us. There's really three things he begs: our material attachments, our self-attachments, and our spiritual nature. He wants it all. And then after Vishwaruta Sannyas, Jagannath Mishra was so fearful that Vishwaruta studied the scripture so intently. He understood the temporary, illusory nature of this world. Nimai is following in his footsteps. So I told Bodhisattva, we cannot let him study anymore. He said, but how will he earn a living? How will he get a good wife? And Mishra said, it's only Krishna who determines these things. And he told Nimai, whatever you want, I will provide, but from this day, you're not allowed to study anymore. He humbly and dutifully accepted his order, but his mischief expanded day and night and just never ended. Until that sermon on top of the broken cooking pots, even in the mood of Dattatreya, he revealed the absolute truth, which didn't really impress Bodhisattva much, but the ladies of the neighborhood went and told Jagannath Mishra, we have so much trouble getting our children to study, and you're stopping him who wants to. And then they told him the same thing he was preaching to Sati, that it's Krishna who determines one's destiny, it's not his studies or lack of them. So he let him go back to school. Where do you want to go? He took Ganga Das by the hand. He's my teacher. Whatever Ganga Das would say, he would immediately assimilate. And then he would refute. And then refute his refutation. And establish Raghadas Pundas point on firmer ground. And he became the greatest pundit in Navadvipa, which attracted the Digvijaya Pandit. In the last stop of this triumphant march to all the universities of the Varsha. And he came to Navadvipa, where he was so humbled. And as, you know, similar with the case of the Chankasi, when the Lord confronted him, he defied his order, confronted him at his door, he humbled him before the world. This is the Muslim counterpart of Kamsa, Chankasi, relative and servant of Nawab Hussain Shah, who was Jarasandha from Krishna Lila. These are not the kind of persons who you defy their order, confront them at their palace door, and humiliate them before the world, but yet he won over his heart. Because he would never break the spirit of anybody he defeated. He would only break their false ego and pride. But he dealt with his so-called opponents with such kindness, gentleness, love, and concern. Concern for their deepest needs. Affirming their higher nature. And he invariably won over the hearts of everyone except those who avoided him. presentation by the students about his chanting the name of Gopis, which inspired him to text on us. And then after years of preaching, going to Jagannathpuri, which became Kurukshetra, Bhumi shared this Vrindavan, Himachala Historica. And the road that stood between was the reenactment of the meeting in Kurukshetra, when amidst all the royal households who came for a religious observation, came that plodding caravan of ox carts in the south. And as Baladev called, "Krishna, come, the Jagras will not take dinner until you join them." And Srimati, "Krishna, come. Your father, your mother, the cows, they're dying without you. Come." Krishna closed his eyes, felt himself being drawn to the south, feeling the breeze off the Jamuna, hearing the cows. Shidama Subha, "Hey Gopal, the cows are going far ahead. You must find them. Come." And he's running, and his hair is blowing in the wind, and the scent of the fragrance of Braj Bhumi, his home. No more palace politics and Chachi diplomacy. He's home, he's himself, coward boy, the conch shell blue. "Hey Krishna," his father, "I'm calling," as he and Subhadra playfully narrate Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka to the Jagras and Vishnus. "Krishna, come, dinner is served, nobody will eat until you join us." He opened his eyes, and his Kurukshetra, but before him, Srimati, "Krishna, come. The cows, the peacocks, the deer, Jamuna, Govardhan." But I sent Uddhava to teach how to always remember me. "We don't want to remember you. But come, your mother, your father, they're dying." He closed his eyes. He felt the breeze. He heard the cows. He's running with Shridhana Subha. He's home. He's himself. He's free. At last. And the conch shell blew a third time. And Baladev is getting frantic. "Krishna, come to dinner. The Vishnis, the Jadus are waiting. They won't eat anything until you come." Srimati is standing before him. "Come. Come home." And he realized at once that he never left Vrindavan. Duty could call. And Vasudeva could respond. Krishna could never leave Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu is going deeper into this Leela in Jagannath Puri to fulfill his own purposes, internal, personal, desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, specifically at Sri Radha Anaya Mahima. That stage in the progression of Mahabhav to Mahabhav, where once we love it becomes their prana, unless the gopis are.
"I am holding over on hill, get below it, underneath it. I will protect you." Or, "I see me dancing, I'm coming to suits." They're just so absorbed in Krishna. In their madness, they're enacting his pastimes. This is the opposite of those who desire to merge with the existence of the Lord, but selfish. The gopis' love is, it's not even selfless. It's self-forgetfulness. And at that time,
The Lord would go every day to Tota Gopinath to hear from Gadadhar Pandit, Srimad Bhagavatam, and their tears would just drench the pages. So Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani, when Mahaprabhu is Krishna. But he's going to Gadadhar Pandit to find out how to be and what it means to be Srimati Radharani by hearing the Bhagavad from his words. So Krishna was thinking, I am the source of all bliss. I am the source of all joy. How is it that the gopis experience more joy than me, the very source? And the analogy the Vaishnavacharyas give is the high mountain peak where the ice never melts. And he speaks to the stream in the valley below. Oh, river in the valley, can I taste some of your water? And the river says, what do you mean? Are you joking with me? You are the source of my water. But the mountain peak says, but I'm so high and frozen, I don't know what it means to flow and dance so gracefully with beautiful flowers along your bank and satisfying so many living entities by your flowing current. Can I taste some of your waters? So the river flows from the ice mountain where the sun thaws those frigid slopes. That sun is a fire of separation, which is not scorching, but is illuminating. And just as sugar cannot taste its own sweetness, nor can a tongue taste sweetness without the sugar, but it takes the two, the combination. Krishna is made of ras and permeated with Ladini Shakti. But he can't taste it. He can't experience it. Because it needs to flow between lover and beloved. It is that flow, that exchange, that dynamic in which the taste becomes realized and assimilated. So the different flavors and expressions and emotions from sneha to mana to pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, Krishna cannot comprehend without tasting for himself. We can only do so by becoming a devotee in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who alone has, as this first verse says, Chitta Dharma Marjanam, that purity of heart to reflect Krishna in such a way as is more charming and alluring to himself than himself. And Kaviraj Goswami gives that example in Nava Vrindavan, when, you know, through the whole controversy of the Shamantaka and Jewel, Satyajit sent his daughter to Rukmini and said, oh, this girl is more, and they're competent, so send her to Navarindava in the care of Navarinda. And then Krishna, he never liked Navarindava because there was no Vrijavasis there. There was only Murtis. And he couldn't have rasa with them. He wanted to go. He met Satyabhama. And then Nava Vrindavan just blossomed into beauty and fragrance and all the seasons at the same time and all the everything. The complete beauty. And Krishna was saying to Satyabhama that you are like my Radha. And he went to, he said, when I stay with Sandipani Muni, I learn how to make nice flower crowns that I'll make for you. And he was picking flowers, gathering, and then in the jewel pavilion, he saw this beautiful youth moving along the wall. And Krishna stopped. And that beautiful youth stopped. And Krishna moved, and the boy moved. And Krishna approached him, and the boy approached him. Said, who are you? So enchanting. I want to embrace you. I want to love you. And when you embrace that pillar, he said, that's me. That's my reflection. I would like to know how to reciprocate with me. How can I reciprocate with me? Who has a mirror of heart which reflects an image more enchanting than the jewels on that pillar? So Krishna's all bewildered. And then Rukmini thought, I should go see what he's doing. And she came. And Krishna mistook Rukmini for Satyabhama. He was just about to address her as such, and he saw Navarendra waiting for that. And they realized he's completely bewildered. So, and then Kaviraj Goswami gives one sort of pastime where Srimati Radharani with her friends are discussing Krishna. And Vrinda emerges from the forest. Oh, my dear friend Vrinda, from where are you coming? From the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Oh, where is he? At Radhakund. Oh, really? What's he doing? He's learning how to dance. Oh? Who's his instructor? Srimati Radharani, it's your image, your reflection, manifesting itself in every tree, in creeper, in flower, in every direction, in every creature, in every aspect of the dog. He is seeing you wherever he turns, making him dance as you, through your reflection, your image, or his praying guru, his dancing instructor, making him dance behind. Sri Krishna, Parameshwara, the Mahesh, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Controller, he's dancing to the love of his praying guru, completely subservient, completely subordinate, completely controlled by her affection. And as in the Vrsandras, when they're playing hide and seek, Krishna's hiding from the gopis, and they spot him in the distance. He's hiding in the bushes, and they approach him. And he cheats them by revealing his magnificent Aishwarya form of Narayan. That's not Krishna. That's Narayan. But they offered their respects and obeisances and prayed. My dear Narayan, have you seen Krishna? And with his four hands, he pointed down the path, and they ran away, looking for Krishna. And Srimati Radharani approached Narayan. He's trying to maintain that forearm, but all the forearms are trembling. And his hair starts to stand on end. And he has long hair where it stands up, and his crown pops off and boing on the ground. And she's looking at Narayan, and he's trembling, and his voice is faltering. She doesn't have to ask, have you seen Krishna? As his two extra arms become unmanifest.
He's captured by love. And when Srimati is in her man, her contrary, she's averse to Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure. She won't talk to him. She won't reciprocate. He falls at her lotus feet, bathes them with his tears, surrenders his fruit, his peacock feather,
and his heart.
And still she won't reciprocate. And he has to turn to the Manjaris, these 12.5-year-old girls, and beg them, can you please intercede on my behalf? This is the Paratattva, who is Sarvakarana Karna, the cause of all causes. This 12-year-old girl, can you please rescue me in my dilemma? Such love mystifies and enchants Krishna, captivates his mind, and subordinates him. And Krishna was contemplating that though I am the source of Ananda, joy, and bliss, how is it that Srimati experiences 10 million times more joy than me? It is because of this first verse of Sushastri, Shaitotakamarsha. When the heart is pure and clean to reflect a clear image of Krishna, that attracts Krishna. And when the gopis see that he's attracted, their hearts shine with clearer and fresher, a clearer and fresher image, and Krishna becomes more pleased. And they become more full and enlivened, and the reciprocation goes on, eternally expanding as the mirror of their love and purity increases. So, in the spiritual world, everything is personal. If you want to contemplate what is the essential teachings of Lord Gauranga, look at the life of Srila Prabhupada. As Maharaj saw thoroughly conveyed today. Thank you. Leaving Vrindavan, absorbed in separation from his lords, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha-Dhamma, suffering heart attacks, sickness, knowing that if there was one more, he would perish at sea. After which, he had that vision of Krishna in his various forms, rowing a boat, conveying to him, I am taking you across this ocean. But the sacrifice is inconceivable. He performed it. Leaving Vrindavan, he association of gentle sutters. And what is the Dham really? The Dham is like a container, like a vase, holding those flowers of delicate affection, that synergy of loving relationships of all devotees, past, present, and future, which makes the devotees so attached to the Dham that the Brijavasis don't even leave when a Kura takes Krishna to Mata. Srila Prabhupada left the Dham to bring the Dham to the world, to bring the world to the Dham. But the sacrifice he underwent for that merciful mission is comparable only to Krishna's most discerning servants. And surviving the second heart attack, avoiding another one by Krishna's grace, as he commented in the Sagari. Today, the ship is flying more smoothly, but I'm feeling deep separation from my hearts. Short thereafter, he composed that beautiful song, beginning with the refrain, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your great fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna, only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. And then he goes into the glorification of his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, very dear to the son of Mother Shashi, is unparalleled in his devotion to Lord Krishna, which will manifest itself in various places in the world by his will. It is his desire that the holy name spread to every town and village of the world in pursuance of Mahaprabhu's will. And it is only when everyone, every soul, in every town and village and mountain and stream and valley, everywhere, is chanting Hare Krishna, that the true Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. I am very fallen, and I am begging for his mercy. And then his remembrance turns back to Krishna. In your company, I will again feel great joy, roaming and frolicking in the pasturing grounds. But for now, except for your mercy, there is no means of success. And then contemplating the Western world, great sympathy. What does sympathy mean? To suffer the death of another. Great sympathy arose in his heart. How they're so absorbed in material life. How can they have a taste for devotional service? And he prayed, Dear Gurudev, dear Krishna, by your mercy alone will I be able to serve them. I wish that you deliver them. And then he quoted that Srimadana Sankata Krishna, Purnishadami Kirtana, Vedanta Stoya Vedrani, Vidanoti Saritsatana. Shri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in the heart of every living entity, himself takes up the process of cleansing the mirror of the heart when that soul is receptive to his message, which is virtuous and properly heard and sung. The Srila Prabhupada is so enlivened always to hear and remember Bhagavatam. And then he prays, he concludes that verse, I'm seeking your benediction, because you have brought me to this terrible place to speak about you. Now it is up to you to make their hearing receptive to my words. How can that be, dear Gurudev? I can only repeat your message. I'm merely a puppet in your hands. And if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. say conveys the essence of his heart, which is the essence of Mahaprabhu's teachings. In his humility, he said, I have no knowledge and I have no devotion, but I do have firm faith in the holy name of Krishna. And if you want me to, if you want to use me, O Lord, my Gurudev has named me Bhaktivedanta. Now it is up to you to make that name meaningful. And then he signed his diary, most insignificant servant aboard Jamadutta. That humility, that devotion, as the state of the heart to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. That great soul is divine grace, is the personification of the essence of Mahaprabhu's teachings. And if we can simply carry on his legacy, we will receive the full benefit of Lord Ganga's teachings in the show. Thank you very much for any comments or questions.
I'd love to ask a question, but you answered all of them.